It's good to be able to open God's Word and to invite Him to speak to us by His Spirit. Before we turn to this passage, let's read it. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We do believe God will bless His word to your heart and mine. Just a word of prayer before we turn to this passage. We bless You and we praise You, our Father in heaven. You are the one who is able to help us in all our need, the great variety that comes in our lives, to help us in all our ups and downs, our goings and comings. We thank You that You are the God who richly warms our hearts with Your presence and through faith in Jesus Christ draws us to Yourself as Father and Child. We bless You for all Your goodness and we bless You for Your word, the inspired word, every comma, every dot, every period, every quotation, it all comes from You. It's inspired. We can take nothing from it or add nothing to it. And so in simplicity of thought this night, we ask that You would speak to our hearts and minds, that however much we love the Lord Jesus at present, we might have a deeper love by the time You speak to us by Your Spirit from this lovely psalm. May it be so. For the sake of Your glory and our blessing, we pray. Amen. When I was asked to preach and was told that during the summer period we can choose a psalm of our own liking or ilking or whatever, immediately your mind goes on to many different psalms because we all have our favourite passage of Scripture and our favourite psalms. My mind wandered on to initially Psalm 19, but then Paul had taken up in that. And there was a number of others. And then, strangely enough, the one I would not have chosen would have been Psalm 23 because it's so well known. And even from a preaching point of view, you say, what can be said about Psalm 23 that's never been said before? But you see, that's never the object of the preacher. Otherwise, when we've preached once throughout Scripture, we close the book and say, there's nothing more to be said. But as I gave it thought, my heart and my mind were strangely warmed, not so much to the whole psalm, but just to one phrase. And it's only one phrase I want to speak on tonight. I don't want to expound Psalm 23. If I did, we would certainly need six sessions, at least, that for sure. This is undoubtedly the best known of all 56 psalms. It's sung by Christian and non-Christian alike. Sung from a believing heart, it can bring heavenly comfort and a stirring means of glorious grace. However, although it's a well-known psalm, it's also a psalm that can be easily misunderstood. I don't know how often you frequent crematoriums, but when you're involved in the ministry over years, then you frequent crematoriums very, very often. And sad to say, you could take the hymn book in the crematorium, throw it in the air, and 9 times out of 10, it'll fall open at the 23rd Psalm. An abundance of DNA has to be found there at the bottom of those pages. Great Psalm, but also greatly misunderstood. So I want to share with you just some thoughts this evening, just from this one phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the phrase I believe the Lord laid my heart to share with you. Firstly, the Lord, and then we'll look at the shepherd. the Lord. Well, of course, David is the author of this psalm. He is referred to in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. Here is a man who loved God deeply, who served God courageously, graciously, and single-mindedly. And yet he was also a man who struggled with his own sinfulness and sense of failure and unworthiness. It's incredible, really, that such a man as David should be referred to as a man after God's own heart. Most people, when they think on David, think on one or two main incidents in his life. But there's one thing most people never forget about David, and that's the truth that lies behind Psalm 51, the penitential psalm, where David confesses his sins, where David repents because he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then to try and cover his tracks, he arranges the murder of Uriah, her husband. Here we still have a man after God's own heart. But you know, if we just had to stop for a moment and take track, we could be enormously encouraged. We know all our own failures and faults. We know what lies within our own minds and our own hearts. And yet, in spite of that, in spite of those things that may be lodged in our minds and our hearts, in spite of those, we can still say, if we know Jesus Christ, we are a man, we are a woman who are loved by God, who hasn't cast us aside because of our waywardness and our failure. Now, such was David as a man. Rather than wallow in his own sense of failure and sinfulness, rather than wallow in this, it drove him to a deep, deep appreciation of the grace of God. It drove him to a deeper understanding of how God could forgive and wash and cleanse and exalt and lift up. That's a wonderful experience in its own. So David says, the Lord. But the question is, who is this Lord? What is his character? Is he qualified to be a shepherd? Is this the Lord Jehovah? Is this the Lord Almighty? Who is this Lord that David speaks of here? Well, of course, David himself was a shepherd and the son of a shepherd. So what does he mean when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, for he's being both specific and personal? He not only makes the statement, the Lord, but it's his Lord. It's his Lord. So what's in his mind as he thinks on the Lord? Who is this Lord? Now, if you and I set about this, if you like, pathway of discovery, supposing we went home tonight and were able to say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd, then let's ask ourselves the question, but what or who is the Lord to me? Is he just the Savior? Is he just someone we pray to? Is he just someone we call out to in deepest and darkest need? Who is the Lord to us? And so David, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he had certain things in mind. Who is this Lord that David writes about? Well, in David's experience, he could have given many answers. He was the Lord who delivered Israel dry shod through the Red Sea. He was the Lord who had delivered Israel many times and raised them up. He was the Lord who had forgiven them time and time again. As a young boy, David could remember that he was the Lord who helped him defeat Goliath as he represented Israel. He was the boy at that time who was looking after the sheep, but left the sheep in care with someone else. Scripture tells us that. And then came and ends up on the battlefront. That's why he could say to Goliath, I don't come against you with sword and spear and shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come against you in the name of the Lord. In David's experience, he was the Lord to deliver from the lion and the bear. He was the Lord who had delivered David from countless enemies, and the Lord who had forgiven all his sins and his waywardness. I'm sure no one ought to have the desire to sin deeply, but isn't it a testimony to the grace of God that those who have, when they turn again in brokenness, with confession and repentance, as David did in Psalm 51, isn't it glorious? How God can forgive, how he can restore, how he can still use us. In all our weakness, in all our smallness, someone once said you can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small. I remember many years ago in my first ministry as an evangelist, and it was at the Filey Christian Holiday Crusade, Skegness, and I worked with them at that time, and Ian Barclay, that name may be known to some of you, it might not be others, but he was the guest speaker at the conference. And I remember after it, behind the scenes up on the platform, I was speaking to him and he turned to Dorothy and he said to Dorothy, he didn't know who she was. He says, and who are you? And I remember Dorothy said, oh, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. He said, nobody's nobody. You're not nobody. And sometimes we can easily get a hold of that thing, you know, we are nobody. Humility is a good thing. Humility is a great thing. But when we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, we are in possession of a wonderful Lord who doesn't browbeat us, who doesn't cast up to us. David had experienced the grace of his Lord. David knew too, as Scripture informs him, that he is the Lord of the universe. Hebrews 1:10, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. Who is David speaking about here? He's speaking about the creator of all that exists. We read in Scripture that the word was spoken. Our Lord spoke and creation sprang into being. David said, it's that Lord, it's that same Lord, he's my Lord. The creator of the world. He is also the Lord of Calvary because he died and was raised again. He's the Lord of salvation. He is the Lord who raises up the dead and breathes new life into them. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords who rules with the scepter of righteousness. In Psalm 24:8, David asks, who is this king? And then answers, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And using the words, the Lord is my, David implies a profound, practical, working relationship between a mere human being and God, his maker. And I find that a staggering thought. Absolutely staggering. He links common clay with the divine. I marvel often at the apostle's words in 2 Corinthians, you are being transformed. You are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. All this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What an incredible miracle that God can habitate mere common clay and actually say, you are of value. David was aware of this. This, of course, is the glory and marvel of the gospel. Did Jesus himself not take upon himself common clay yet without sin? Did he not identify with humanity? In order that he might procure the restoration of those who come in faith. To sing this psalm without a personal faith and intimate trust in Christ for salvation is really to sing a lie. This is a song for the redeemed. The Lord is my shepherd, only the redeemed can sing it. C.H. Spurgeon says, only those who have a renewed nature through faith in God can sing this song. It's a very personal one. It's a personal psalm. This is an affirmation of a living faith and a powerful testimony of those who are saved. And yet it is a tragedy and a false hope to sing or say these words through mere emotion or sentiment. But what a great blessing it is for you and I to join with David and say with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." I wonder, is he your Lord? Is he your shepherd? David belonged to him, and he belonged to David. Tremendous sense of belonging when we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." How gracious and loving that the Lord God Almighty should use such an ordinary concept as shepherd to express his character. I find that a marvelous thought, that God unfolds who he is and what he wants to do, how he wants to care for us, how he wants to look after us. How does he do it? He says, "Well, let's think on the word shepherd." So David has all these thoughts in his mind, all his experiences, all the dark times, all the good times, all the holy times, all the black times. He has all that in his heart and mind. And he thinks on the ways God has delivered him. He's got all these things in mind when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Somehow or other, this word shepherd is taken up to express the character of God as you and I engage in a working relationship with the living God. So, David says, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Almighty is my shepherd. Regarding this word shepherd, we know full well what the word means. We're familiar with sheep. We're familiar with shepherding. Because of that, the word is used. In this psalm, David writes not as a shepherd, but he writes as a sheep, because he understands the circumstances of the sheep. But he also understands the qualities of the shepherd, because he himself was a shepherd. And so he writes from dual experience, shepherd and sheep. And it's a wonderful psalm that unfolds the loving and intimate care of the Lord our shepherd. It warrants a great number of weeks at least to unfold the truths within this psalm. But for our purpose tonight, let me say a bit about the shepherd. As a sheep, what is David saying? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a sheep. He's the shepherd. What is he saying? He's saying, I suggest, the Lord is my manager. The Lord is my owner. The Lord is my master. The Lord is the director of my life. And because he chose to create me, he alone is better qualified to understand and care for me. Now, if you happen to own a very expensive car and you've paid a lot of money for it, it's very unlikely that you'll go to a wee backstreet garage sometime to get it repaired. Perhaps they'll not be able to do the job or understand it. Those who put it together will understand it more. They'll be sensitive. They'll be sympathetic to it. And so David, as God's creation, knows that the Lord is his shepherd. As his shepherd, he understands David. He understands his children because he made us. It is he who made us and not we ourselves, says the psalm. And that's why you and I, and if you're anything like me, There are times even we turn to pray and we can't pray. Have you ever been in that situation when we just can't find the words to pray? There's too much going on in our mind and our hearts, or the problem we consider to be too deep, too difficult, too complex. In such a time, it's a good thing, I think, just to be in the presence of God and to say, Lord, I'm here and you're here. I don't know what to say, but I need to know your company and to be in your presence, just to be with you. Sometimes that is the case. He understands our emotions, our sentiments. He understands our complexity. We're all complex. We're totally different as individuals. Our spiritual, our soul, our body, DNA, we are so different. And yet, God has put us together so wonderfully. And as sheep of the shepherd, he understands. He wants to manage our lives, direct our lives. The shepherd is many things to the sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. Our souls, our hearts, our minds are nourished by the Lord. Our shepherd guides us. He protects us. He lifts us up when injured. He nourishes us when we're weak. He cleans us from within. As the sheep, when the sheep gets infested, he cleans. He comforts when distressed. And he seeks them out when they stray. David, the author of Psalm 139, says this: You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Listen to those last few words again. Let us never say that the Lord doesn't understand or doesn't know. David says, You, Lord, are familiar with all my ways. In earthly terms, you speak to the shepherd of a flock. He will know all his sheep, their markings, their discolorations, their temperaments, the ones who are prone to fear and to be anxious, the ones who are bullies. The shepherd knows them. You, O Lord, are familiar with all my ways. How glorious is the Lord, our shepherd. We may be disappointed in individuals at times. We're often good at pointing out other folks' faults and failures and so on. And we may be disappointed with people at times, and sometimes very often feel that we're heavy-hearted regarding something, but never feel we can share it. And we tend to bear the burden alone very often. But that should never be the case with the Lord our shepherd. He is familiar with all our ways. In Scripture, and it's a sermon in its own right, the Lord Jesus is described as the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, and the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, we read of the chief shepherd, because one day he will crown his people and lead them to glory. In Hebrews 13, he is the great shepherd because he rose from the dead. He is the living shepherd. The living shepherd. In John 10 and 15, as Hamish mentioned earlier, we read of the good shepherd whose leading characteristic was to lay down his life for the sheep. Does the Lord, our shepherd, love us? Wow, he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. The good shepherd purchased the sheep, his sheep, with his own blood. You and I are bought and paid for, and he keeps us. Jesus says in John 10, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that wonderful? No one can snatch us out of his hand. He holds us in the palm of his hand. We belong to him. He paid for us. We're his. Oh, David knew that full well. The Lord was his shepherd. And he will keep nothing, nothing that will help his sheep from them. I would suspect that some of you here have read Professor Douglas Macmillan's wee book on the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd. I mean, he's got some lovely thoughts in that, because Douglas Macmillan, I remember hearing him preach actually at a graduation service in BTI in Glasgow, the Bible College, going way back to probably the early 1980s. And soon afterwards, he passed on into glory as still not a very old man. But he was unique in this sense. He was a shepherd and a theologian. What a great mix. A shepherd and a theologian. And he writes in his little book, usually to improve your flock, you bought expensive sheep. And because you paid a lot for them, you looked after them all the better. Is that not true with just about everything we own? We don't bring out, well, it's not so much the good suit now, isn't it? I remember the days when you only had one suit maximum. Now I don't know if they exist. But you look after things that you've paid a lot of money for. That's what Professor Macmillan says here. When you paid a lot for your sheep, you looked after them all the better. Oh, says Peter in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it was not with silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Are you of value? Am I of value? Yes, we've been purchased by the very life of Christ. Beyond value, beyond measure, beyond understanding. No pound sign can go alongside that. We are invaluable in that we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. That is, so long as our faith is in this shepherd for salvation. The great thing about the shepherd is this, that he knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the shepherd's expectation, that we listen to his voice and we follow him. I remember many years ago, and that's the bad thing about a few years passing by. We use that phrase too often. I remember many years ago and refer to something away in the past. But I do. I remember way back, I think it was still in the 80s, and I was doing a week's ministry down in South Wales. And one day I was having lunch with a farmer there. We're talking about farms and cattle and sheep and so on. And as we walked through his yard, he was about to call in the cows, the cattle, not the sheep, but the cattle. They were way, way far away, you know. I said, so how will you get them to come to you? And I'm thinking he'll get the dog out and he'll say, whatever. No, he says, I'll just call them. And he says, would you like to try? I says, yeah, well, what do you shout and what do you say? Well, he gave me a 2-minute tuition course in how to call cattle from about 600 or 700 yards away. I tried everything and they just ignored me. He uttered 2 sounds and the whole herd came right to the corner. Why? Because they recognized his voice. They belonged to him. And they recognized his voice and on they came. So calling cattle, I cannot do. The shepherd knows his sheep. Again, if you allow me to just give an example from Douglas Macmillan's little book. He tells the story how that on one occasion when he left farming to go and study theology, he had been away for about 3 years or so. And he came back for a return trip to the farm, and there in his big brother, as he called him. Now, Douglas Macmillan was big, but he says his brother was big, big. And he says, the two of us stood and we looked at some sheep and some new lambs and we looked at that and he's discussing them and so on. Whilst they did that, he said, one sheep made its way. It was about 5 years of age and it made its way towards Douglas Macmillan. And as it made his way towards him, it squeezed its nose into his hand. And he looked down and he recognized it. When it was young, he fed it for its first 6 months with a bottle. It had never forgotten it. He had never forgotten it. There was that lovely bond between the shepherd and the sheep. Now, if that's true in the animal world, how much more is this true in a relationship with our shepherd, with our Lord? Isaiah 40:11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." If you read over that wee book by Douglas Macmillan again, you'll read of many stories where the shepherd had to go out in the middle of the night and walk for miles over very rough terrain in snowy times just to pick up a little lamb or a sheep on his shoulders and bring it back home, the shepherd and the sheep. But as we kind of near to an end this evening, I'm pretty sure some of you will also have read a book by Philip Keller. He's the author of about 30 or 40 books. But he wrote a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Again, it's worth reading because he's not only a well-known Christian writer, he was also a shepherd in South Africa. And he understood, because in that part of the world, unlike here, like eastern parts as well as South Africa, the shepherd led the sheep. The shepherd would go ahead and lead them. Now, that doesn't happen here. They're driven here. So he has a great experience as a shepherd as well. And I want to read a quote, if you'll allow me, just from his book. He says, "The day I bought my first 30 ewes, my neighbour and I sat on the dusty rails that enclosed the sheep pen and admired the choice, strong, well-bred ewes that had become mine. Turning to me, he handed me a large, sharp killing knife and remarked tersely, 'Well, Philip, they're yours. Now you'll have to put your mark on them.' I knew exactly what he meant. Each sheepman had his own distinctive earmark, which he cuts into one ear. In this way, even at a distance, it is easy to determine to whom the sheep belong. He put his mark upon his sheep. He could say, 'They're mine. They belong to me.'" Psalm 40, verse 6, what does David say? "My ears, O Lord, you have pierced." And that was a mark. It's a long story behind it, but that was the mark of ownership. That was David saying, "I really want to belong to you. My ears, O Lord, you have pierced." And despite our waywardness as the Lord's sheep at times, and we do, all we like sheep have gone astray, he has chosen us. He has paid for us, and we belong to him. I spent quite some time recently speaking to a friend who had been listening to a very well-known preacher from down south, but had some heretical views, who made it his business to teach that you can have your salvation and lose your salvation. And I was abhorred at such a thought. When Christ, our shepherd, has paid the price for us and we belong to him, as I said earlier, no man can snatch us from his hand. If we take an earthly example, we could take a son or a daughter, and that son or daughter could come to us one day and say, "I want to disown you. I'm changing my name by deed poll. I'm moving to the furthest part of this world. So far as I'm concerned, you no longer exist. I don't belong to you. I'm off." The fact is, there is nothing they can do to alter the fact that they're a son or a child of those parents. Inalterable. If that's true in an earthly sense, how glorious and more wonderfully true in a spiritual sense. Did Christ waste his blood on the cross? No, he didn't. Did he pay for something that he couldn't hold on to? No, he didn't. Now then, you see, the Lord and the shepherd are linked with a wonderful word here, this monosyllable, my. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And nothing can separate us from him. Even in our wayward times and our sinful times, when there's need for confession and repentance, we will always belong to the Lord if we've been purchased through his precious blood on the cross. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, not just a shepherd. All that he is belongs to us. All that we are belongs to him. I trust we're all able to say as we leave tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times when our appreciation greatly dips. Give us for the times when we don't love you as we ought or appreciate you. Forgive us for the times of straying, when we're less than loyal. Just like sheep, we go astray at times. Please forgive us and cleanse us and wash us. We bless you, Father, for the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd, for the one who laid down his life for us. We bless you for him, and we bless him for that saving and keeping power. What a wonderful shepherd we have in him. Fill us anew with your spirit. If we're finding the path, the roadway difficult, we're traveling at the time, renew our hope. Pick us up, warm our souls and our minds with your presence. Remind us again of your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.